My name is Garland Robinson. The Bible tells us that eternity is certain. Eternity is real. The Bible tells us that man will live again after he leaves this world, and it'll be in eternity. Our journey there, our trip to eternity, is absolutely certain. It's not dependent upon whether you believe it or not, or whether some may teach it or not. It is certain because God proclaims it to be so. We read in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27, where the Bible says, "And it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment." When we read about the judgment in all the passages where it's found, it indicates that those who have lived will live again. They will stand before the Lord in judgment. They will be separated one from another, the Lord said, as a shepherd divides the sheep from the goats. The righteous, the good, those who are Christians, those who are God's children, will be on the right hand. And the wicked, the servants of the devil, those who have not obeyed the gospel, those who have sinned in this world and never received forgiveness of it, they'll be on the left hand. And those who have been divided will be sent out into eternity. Eternity will go on forever and forever and forever. The length of it has no end. It can't be described, because our journey there is absolutely certain. You remember what the Ecclesiastes writer said in chapter 12 and verse 5 of his book? He says, "Man goeth to his long home." That's what eternity is, a long home. That tells us that it's certain. And I know for sure because the Bible says so. Every man and woman, every boy and girl will make the journey into eternity. In Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 7, we read, "Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it." How many have ever lived and died? Well, all of them. We don't know what number that is, but we know from the graveyards, we know from historical records of people who once lived and have died, but yet they are still conscious. They are in existence. They are in eternity, and we're all heading to that place. We just don't know when. I wonder how many people will be dead 10 years from now. Those of us that are here today that are even listening to this program right now, will you be alive in 10 years? We have no idea, do we? How many will be alive in 5 years, even in this next year? Will I even be here or around? One thing's for certain, we will be in eternity, for man goeth to his long home. And we know the point that takes us there is death. Hebrews 9 and verse 27 says, "It is appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment." Time and death has always reminded us of the mourning over our loved ones, those who have been lost from this world. Just as the Bible says that man goeth to his long home, and the mourners, those who remain, they will be in mourning. The Bible presents two attitudes concerning death, one of the saint, the other of the sinner. In Luke 16, we read of both of them. We read about a rich man, that is the sinner, the one who did not do God's will. And the Bible says in Luke 16:23, "And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame." Here we read about a man that's a sinner, a man that was living luxuriously. He lived that way every day, yet he died, and beyond the grave, he was in torment. Lazarus, on the other hand, when he died, he went to a place of comfort and rest. Paul's attitude was one of a faithful Christian. He said in 2 Timothy 4, verses 6 to 8, I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. He said, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me in that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. So the rich man, on one hand, went to hell. Paul, all the faithful Christians like him, go to heaven. That is vast eternity. Here was a man that had been forgiven much. He looked upon death not as the sun set, but as the sunrise. He was, though he were living in an old house, and simply moving to a new one. He mentioned to the church in Corinth in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 that if the earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a new one, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. He's talking about our fleshly body, that when we die, this body goes back to the dust. In Revelation 14:13, John said, "And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. From henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that he may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them." When we die, our works will follow us and will be judged. In 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 13 to 18, we're not to be troubled over those who die that are faithful Christians, because they are alive, they are rewarded, and will receive the great reward of heaven one day. So Christians don't look upon death as being awful. Rather, it's glorious. Out yonder the Lord awaits to grant unto us an entrance into that heavenly kingdom, because eternity is our long home. When we die in this world, we'll never return to live in the flesh again. In 2 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 23, King David said of his infant son that was born and died, he said, "He is dead. Wherefore should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he shall not return unto me." David recognized and knew that so long ago. You may be a husband or a wife this day, been married for many, many years, and yet when one dies, there's no power on earth to bring back that spouse. It can't be done. When children or babies die or are killed, mama and daddy may shed tears bitterly, but there's no way of bringing that child back. In a wonderful world in which we live, there's no power on earth that can bring back the dead. It's because people go to that long home. When a patient goes to the hospital, it may be for 21 days, let's say, and when they've been there 7, then there's only 14 left. Someone may go off to college for 4 years. They've been there 2, and there's 2 left. But in eternity, you can't say that. You can't say, "I've been there 1,000 years, and now we're nearing the end." You can't say, "I've been there 10,000 or 10 million years." Exactly how long is eternity? It's forever. There's no end. It goes on and on. T.B. Larimore, an old pioneer preacher, once said, in illustrating the length of eternity, he said, "We may number the leaves of all the trees of all the earth through all the ages and multiply that number by the number of blades of grass that have grown on the earth since it was made. Then multiply that by the grains of sand upon the earth, and multiply that by the number of drops of water in existence. Then let each unit in that final inexpressible product represent 10,000 ages, and all the time represented by that wonderful combination of units, each unit representing 10,000 ages, is inexpressibly small in comparison to eternity, and may be deducted from eternity millions and billions and trillions of times, and eternity would still be the same awful, boundless, limitless, fathomless, inexpressible thing it was before." Friend, we can't define eternity. We have no concept of it because everything we do is linked with time. We can't escape time. We can't escape a clock because we know of past and present and future. But we can't change those things. Eternity, it goes on and on and on. The important thing is that you might live as a Christian now. You're going to go out into eternity unprepared to meet God unless you obey the gospel. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That includes you and that includes me. There are none righteous, no, not one. It is that sin that separates one from God. And when we die in a separated state from God, we die with unforgiven sin in our lives, then we are not going to heaven. We're going to hell. We're going out into eternity unprepared to meet God. There's only one way to have forgiveness of sins, and that's God's way. I can't do what I like, what makes me feel good, or what makes me happy. That's not going to bring about the forgiveness of sin. But doing what the will of the Lord is, that will bring about forgiveness of sin. Well, what is the will of the Lord? We find that the only begotten Son of God came into this world and lived a life among men, a perfect life, was ridiculed, despised, rejected, and crucified, buried in a tomb, but yet He was raised again on the third day for our justification, Romans chapter 1 and verse 4. And through that resurrection, we have the hope of eternal life. And it was through the death that He died, the blood that He shed, that is the agent that forgives or washes away our sins. Well, how do we contact that blood? How do we have that blood applied in our life that it may wash our sins away? Well, the Lord said, "Except ye believe that I am He, ye shall all likewise perish." We're all going to die, John 8 and verse 24. And unless we believe in the Lord, we'll not have life. Hebrews 11 and verse 6 says, "Without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." Then we find one must repent of their sins. That means a change of attitude, a disposition, an outlook, which leads to a change of conduct. On the day of Pentecost, the announcement was made, "Repent and be baptized for the remission of sins." Then confession of faith in Christ is essential. We read where the man from Ethiopia said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God," Acts 8 and verse 37. Then one can be immersed into water for the forgiveness of sins. The Bible calls that baptism. Baptism saves us, 1 Peter 3:21. Baptism puts us in contact with the blood of Christ, where our sins are washed away. Saul was told in Acts chapter 22 and verse 16, "Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins." Friend, that's the only way you can have forgiveness of your sins, and when you die, to go out into eternity prepared to be with God. My name is Garland Robinson.